Okay, we're here today with Samuel from SoftSource Consulting, and Samuel has been doing some work on Rx, and he has written an application that's actually shipping, a real business application. So can you tell us what you did with Rx?
Sure, so the application we wrote is a time entry application, internal for our company. Since our company revolves around doing a lot of work for other customers, it's important that they have all their time billed against projects. And so a lot of the money flow revolves around getting time entered correctly for correct projects, on-time billing cycles, and all this management that's required. So we wrote this Silverlight application for doing all this internal management. And it is out on CodePlex.
You wrote a real application with it, you also shipped it for everybody to take a look at and use.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no trade secret in there, so.
Cool. So, she used Rx in that. What are the reasons for doing that?
The biggest problem we had was a lot of our employees would be all over the place. There might be customer sites and such. And so we needed a way for them to get at the time entry stuff across the web. So we picked Silverlight, and after we had done a few iterations, we decided that Rio Services was nice, but it still followed the problem with doing web calls, which is you have to give some sort of callback and manage all of that state yourself. And after PDC last year with Eric, in his presentation, we picked up on Rx a little more, and we decided that was perfect for application. Married with Rio Services, it was actually very beautiful. We did it really quickly.
Yeah, if you only pick it up with PDC, and it's March now, yeah. That's not much development time.
No. I think we totaled about 2 months of developing from scratch.
Wow.
So
how can you do it that fast?
The one caveat is there was no testing done whatsoever. So,
yeah, who needs testing?
Well, the thing that was nice is that even after we wrote it, it was from about a week ago, we were still totaled at about 5 actual bugs in the program.
Wow.
Maybe it's because it was written by me alone, so I can keep track of it all, but I thought it was pretty amazing that we did it quickly and so a few bugs.
Okay, so I might hope that the Rx helped with the fast development.
Oh, definitely. One of the previous iterations we did with the standard Silverlight async WCF calls, and the problem was if I needed to load 10 different load queries before I could fire up the app. The amount of chaining that was required was unbearable.
So you were writing the state machines yourself at that point?
Yeah. Because you'd have to go and put the callback handlers on, and then you'd have to, if you wanted to fire them all from parallel, you'd have to check to see which ones had finished, and then only after all of them were done could you turn off your little loading indicator and all this. It was a mess.
Okay, so we already talked about one pattern. Can you describe some patterns that you use Rx in your app?
So one of the other interesting scenarios we had was we had two different sets of, we'll start off with projects since that's the common one. So we've got a bunch of projects in our app. Mm-hmm. We've got maybe 200 or so in the database. And we didn't want to load all of the properties on it. We only want to load a small subset. So we loaded all the summary versions on the startup of the app. But then we wanted to edit them in the full-blown version. The problem was, if we saved the full one to the database, we needed to somehow come back and update the little summary version as well. And the problem is, if you're doing that with, say, 12 different entity types, it gets pretty ugly as well. So what Rx let us do is, because we wrap these collections and turn them into an observable top. And because of that, we could go and watch for changes on the actual collection. And then when those changed, we could come back and say, we need to refresh this collection or that collection. And so it was like a three-line link statement to do that piece of the state machine.
Wow, that's nice. Any other patterns?
Let's see. So one of the other places is we just need to do, as part of the load up, we need to do gang loads. We need to load like 20 different types at the beginning. And so for that we used fork join, and it was one line for each entity type we need to load. We used it a little bit for UI. Mm-hmm. It was mostly just behind the scenes data loading.
So you're using it, like you're using a model view controller paradigm?
A more fundamental version of MVVM, which is more classic MVC presenter pattern. So.
Okay, and then you use Rx in mainly the model.
Yeah.
Okay. So any things that like you couldn't do with Rx that you wish you could do, things you had to do yourself still?
Well, one of the really complicated parts that we found out by accident, when we were demoing this internally in our company meeting, one of the operations that you can do with Rhea is a save. The problem is you cannot have overlapping save calls, as in I can't have one in flight and then fire another one. And so what happened was in the meeting, the person demoing it, he went and clicked insert to add a new one half a dozen times and then the app died. And so what we did is we were able to go and implement a little queuing mechanism that went and turned this into it kept the blocking overlapping bits out of our faces. Didn't change the API at all. Turned out pretty nicely because since there was a regularized way of initializing the save call, we were able to go and just plop in our queuing mechanism, and the API didn't change one bit.
So I would imagine that it's like another Rx operator where you say queue, or like, can you like write a sample of
sure.
how that works?
So I'll show you the scenario first that we had. So I've got my project here, and I need to go and save it off into my database through the web or whatever. Normally we were just saving it, and then when it came back, that's when we got notified and we were done. The problem was if we had multiple of these all going in at once, Rhea Services kind of threw up its arms and told us no. So what we wound up doing one of the interesting things was part of this queuing mechanism, we actually wound up reinventing the new iConnectable observable.
Okay. So you were using a build after PDC where that wasn't available yet, right?
Yeah. So we had no clue that it was coming. It's actually funny because the API is almost exactly the same, except in the Rx version, Connect returns a disposable, in my version it doesn't. Otherwise, the naming's a little different, but so yeah, that was a bit interesting.
Great minds think alike.
So, so we'll draw this again. So the problem was we need to go and take all these things and have this queue in the middle that they all came to. And to all of these people who are saving a project, they had no idea that there was any queuing going on. They just subscribed to this thing over here, and this queue over here would go and fire off one at a time, and when it came back, it would let the next one go until the queue was empty. And so that part, because this was all hidden behind the iObservable interface, no code needed to change. There was no...
So the original pattern implemented iObservable, and now your queue implements iObservable as well.
Yeah, so the queue takes in an iObservable and spits out one at the same time, just like one of the combinators. The only difference is that it goes and creates a queue, and then from then on subscribes people to that queue from then onwards.
Okay, so it's kind of like a concat, but then you can add to the queue at runtime instead of specifying.
Yeah, so it's like a dynamically changing concat.
Nice.
So
cool.
And so it's been generalized enough that it could be used for quite a few places. Another similar scenario we had was authentication in Rio services. They're all different tops because this queue has to be has to have a top. The authentication stuff is all, each one's got its own top, but they're all, no two different ones can overlap. So the problem is we have to now have a single queue that all of these could come and queue against, even though they're different tops. And so what we wound up doing is we had a queue here of top object, and then we had login, logout, save user, all these different tops came in. And there was another extension method we wrote that turned these things into, turned them into top object. And then they'd come back as top object, and then have to be cast back into the correct top.
Okay.
And so there was another extension method that we wrote that goes and does the casting for us. So that was probably one of the most interesting state machine pieces that were solved really easily with Reactive. So.
Okay. So you've used Rx extensively now. You've been programming it for 2 months. What is missing?
I think the queuing stuff would be pretty useful. I mean, there's no dependency in it for Rio or anything, and I think that, you know, just with my usage, that there's definitely a use case for it. So that would be my one. The other one that's upset that went missing was the properties.
Yep, they're coming back. We'll bring them back.
So what I did is I re-implemented a simple version of it since I needed it.
So what area of your program do you really need those properties?
Well, because this is we used a simplified version of MVVM. We needed to have some of the properties raise notifications, and while I could have used iNotify property changed, it's not exactly nice to try and check the names and cast them and do whatever, so it was much easier for me to just say to observable and do my standard observable logic with it.
So, like, some of the things we hear from people is that, like, oh, you need to be a functional programming wizard, you need to have a PhD to be able to understand Reactive. Did you feel that? Like, do you have, like, 10 years of Haskell programming background?
Oh, you see, one of the people when we were teaching this asked if I'd done any functional programming, because I said, Tim, it must have been, you know. But, no, I've been C#. I started programming when I was about 11, but it's been C# all the way. I think I did some C++ and Java in college. And Logo. That one.
So, no excuse if you don't know functional programming, you should just go for Reactive.
Yeah, well, the one advantage I see to C# over something like Haskell is the typing.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's much easier to see tops flowing around. So, but, I mean, I did watch a lot of the Brian Beckman and Eric Myers videos.
Well, so you're a Haskell programmer in disguise, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
cool.
But yeah, for me it was more the theory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because just like regular link with iNumerable or even link to SQL, it's easy to use, but you need to know theory to go and create your own. So, I mean, doing the queuing mechanism that we had written was complicated, but it was made easier because I knew underneath what the theory was for it to work. So.
Great. So some Codeplex, where can people get it?
It is timecard.codeplex.com. I believe the only thing that you have to install it is Silverlight, RIA services, and there's a database that you need that you can just connect in your web config. But other than that, it should be straightforward. Yeah.
And if they have any questions, they can shoot you an email?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that'll be, I think, then the link or somewhere in the post.
Great.
So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.